always interesting during the week when you're thinking about Sunday, what to share and what worship songs to sing. And more often than not, it's sometimes, and also with words given at the start, which I have no clue you're going to sort of share that, Mike, but how it all seems to sort of dovetail and to bring in everything on a Sunday morning together. And I think this morning is no different. It's, I think it's amazing. Absolutely nothing short of amazing. This morning I wanted to share just really, really sort of quite briefly, so I'll probably be getting Jenny back quite soon. But let's just see how we go. But I find that God speaks to me through circumstances, through things that are going on around me, and just even just driving around town. And even Tuesday night at a blaze where we prophesied over Tony. This week, this Tuesday evening at a blaze, we're prophesying over Jan and Lynn. But just hold that word prophecy in your mind at this moment in time. Just think about that prophecy. And then driving around town during the week, suddenly I drove past one of the car parks and it was full of Arctic lorries and they were unloading water. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, what the heck's going on? It transpired that Thursday morning, and then through social media, that Tunbridge, South Tunbridge, was having some issues with water. Steph, were you all right?
We were fine. We were on the right side of the road.
But it was as fine as that.
Yeah.
But as I was driving, thinking about that, and sometimes the Holy Spirit can be seen as, you know, flowing water. And it just struck me when I read the report about what was going on in Tunbridge with the lack of water, or the power outage, which is one of the other issues. Mm-hmm. There was a power outage, so they couldn't get water to certain houses. and it made me go to 1 Thessalonians 5. And we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 22. So it was thinking about the lack of water, which we do take for granted, don't we?
Mm.
Which we do take for granted. Mm. But it was the lack of water, the water supply, and the power outages. And it made me think of the Holy Spirit. And reading 1 Thessalonians 5, it came quite clear to me that we can quench, we can stifle the Holy Spirit. Don't you think it's amazing that the Holy Spirit, you know, part of the Godhead, all powerful, that we have the ability to stifle and quench the Holy Spirit? You think, wow, that's quite a responsibility, isn't it? And the words I got for this morning is, we need to flow. And if there's something blocking us in our flow with the Holy Spirit, with God, then we need to deal with that. So it can sound a bit harsh. But Jen last week, she, and you can listen to this on the church website, but Jen spoke about a compass. So to summarise, it was a compass, and there were three things that keep us, if you like, heading true north. One of which is being the Word. And I'm going to repeat that this morning as we look at 1 Thessalonians 5. To just be in the Word. We have to be in the Word of God. We have to make time to be in the Word of God. Now, obviously we've had conversations with many of you, but we've got to be in the Word of God, the truth of the Word. And also we can use the Word to actually test prophecies. We're called to do that. But we've got to be in the Word of God. However that works for you, I mean, there's apps, there's just reading it, but I think we have to make sure that we are in the Word of God. The second thing she mentioned was worship. Our hearts being worshipped. And worship for me is, what do we give worth to? Do we give more worth to scrolling through our phones? I'm guilty of it. Sometimes I can sit there and you know, before you know it, you'll be on Instagram, whatever the social media thing is your thing. You could be on there for hours. No, not hours, I'm not on there on hours, but you could be. But you know what I'm saying? Sometimes those minutes just clip by, clip by, clip by, clip by. And I will say this, if if you say you haven't got time to get in the Word, you can make time. You have to make time to get into the Word of God, whatever that's like. Sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the night, I just put the Bible app on. And, you know, I may start at 1 Thessalonians 1, and I might be asleep by 1 Thessalonians 2, I don't know. But, you know, it's just something I listen to. Or it's a podcast that gets you into the Word. I follow something called Through the Word, TDW. It's an American-based podcast. Yeah, it is a podcast. But they go through every single chapter of the Bible. But they also have themes like restoration or salvation. So it picks out all the bits from the Bible. So it'll go through a chapter, and then there's like a 5-minute exposition by this guy, who I think is really good, really balanced. So that's one of my key messages this morning, is we've got to get into the Word of God, however we can do that. So Jem was in the Word, worship, and the last one is prayer. And prayer is not that we're on our knees 24/7, every single minute of the day. Prayer really is a communication with God. Yeah, so we're aware of what's going on around us. And as I said to you, but that's the way that God speaks to us through circumstances. It could be something that somebody's wearing. It could be something like driving past a car park in Tunbridge and there's all this water being delivered. What are you saying, God? So this message could be just for me about power outage in my life or the lack of the flow of the water of God. So let's just read the main text. It's 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's start at verse 16. So this is a letter to the young church in Thessalonica. And theologians believe that this is probably one of the earliest writings, Christian writings, to this fresh new young church in Thessalonica. And Paul planted the church, but he had to leave because he was under threat of death. But I think it's Timothy went back to Paul and said, these guys in this new church are doing great. They're really going great, but I think they could do with some more encouragement. So this is the letter that Paul writes to this new church to encourage them. So with that backdrop, it comes with three like short, sharp commands. And they start in verse 16. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, the Lord's Prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, yeah, you can ask yourself, what is God's will for my life? It's these three things. Be joyful, always. I think in other translations it says rejoice, always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your life. That, I think I spoke on joy a number of weeks back, but that joy is not just waiting for to be happy. You know, we get happiness when things are happy, but this joy is a biblical joy, which is deep set within us. It's drawing on that joy in circumstances. So we draw on that. In many ways, it's our posture, it's our culture. Do we have that culture within us of that biblical joy that we can call it? Because otherwise, if we can't do that, we're not being joyful always, are we? We'll only be joyful sometimes. The second one is to pray continually. It's more like, I don't know if it's a rhythm of prayer, but you can do. What I try and do is try and do it at least every morning, follow some sort of program like I talked about, through the Word, or whatever it might be, just to read the Word, whatever that might be. Even if it's just a psalm, just to encourage myself. So it's to pray continuously. And Jesus modeled that, didn't he? He often took himself off to go and pray to the Father. And give thanks in all circumstances. We can struggle over that one, I think, or we can stumble over that one. To give thanks in all circumstances. So, we've been in our family, we've been through, still going through a difficult situation in our family life. And to be thankful in it is hard, to be honest. And we're all going through difficult situations, but some things can be really hard. And how can I be thankful in this? But it's not being thankful, it doesn't say thankful for those circumstances. Because I'm not thankful for them and all these things. But it's been thankful in them. It's just that little difference of that word for and in. They're being thankful in those. What am I being thankful for? I'm not being thankful about those circumstances. I'm being thankful about what God's done in the past. Who he is. Who he is to me in this particular situation. It's a real encouragement to be thankful in that particular circumstances. In Christ Jesus. That's the important bit as well. Yeah, testimonies. We love testimonies, don't we?
Yes.
And I think gratitude, it's like a fuel, I think. Rather than going down the negative route, just being grateful, like Wendy, we often mention it, don't we? Well, you do. Mm. I know you do. You woke up this morning.
Yeah.
And at feast, not this week, like before, I was talking to this person who is probably very, very negative. And sometimes that can be hard not to get drawn into those conversations. It's easy, isn't it? If we can get drawn into the negative conversations. But trying to stay strong and rejoicing and be thankful in those situations, not to go down the negative route, that would just cause a black cloud. So it's really trying to be grateful for. So I was saying to this person, I was exactly using your phrase about, I woke up this morning, we're standing up. Things may not be particularly great in your circumstance, but you know, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you in this particular situation. And praying that God gives you a word of encouragement.
Yes.
This is exactly what we're here to do, to bring light in dark situations. So gratitude is a big deal. Then it goes on into verse 19, there's a little bit of a shift. So going on from being joyful always, praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for our life. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Other translations say, do not quench the Holy Spirit. Yeah, let's just take that first. I think this is the main bit, actually, I think, when I was driving past thinking about the power outages and the lack of water, the lack of flow. And I often look at these things, what's it impacting me? And hopefully it will speak to you as well. But it is not being fully aware of the Holy Spirit, not worshipping, not praying, all those things. And we have that ability to stifle and suppress his work. And do not despise prophecies, or in the NIV it says this, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Now we can do that quite easily, I think. We can say, if we get this amazing prophetic word, how on earth is that going to happen? How? That's impossible. Great. If that's your response, that prophetic word is impossible, then I would say probably most of the times that is something which God will work. I mean, you've got to go and test the prophetic word. You don't just accept everything. And it says here, test it as well. Test everything. Hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. So we are to test what that prophetic word is. And we do that by, you know, trusting the Holy Spirit within us to say, yep, I think that is a prophetic word for you. Is it scriptural as well? And does it strengthen? Does it encourage? Does it comfort? Prophecy should do that. Not for necessarily for the body, but for you as individually. To strengthen you, encourage you, and comfort you. If it's not that, then you ought to just get shot of it. So to hold fast to what is good, abstain from every evil. So in that final part of this passage of scripture, it's talking about abstain from every kind of evil. What is that evil? You will know. You will know because the Holy Spirit will actually convict you if it's evil. Evil is a strong word, isn't it? Anything which is out of line with the kingdom of heaven, you could say that's evil. So there's three main things here. A joyful heart, a prayerful spirit, and a thankful attitude. It's like an all-in. And these things aren't just throwaway things. These are commands. To have a joyful heart, to be prayerful, and to be thankful. And I wrote this down as I was thinking about this morning. Which one of these, or which of these commands, do I need to lean into this week? So which one of those three are you saying to me, Holy Spirit, I really need to press in on this week? Do I need to read my word? Or the word, my word, sorry. Do I need to read the word more? Do I need to be intentional? Where can I carve out time to read the word? And worship. And I'm not just talking about worship as in putting on worship music, which is great. That's getting the word in you as well. But what am I giving worth to? What am I giving worth to in my time? Money, resources, whatever it might be, you fill in the gaps. And then being thankful. Just being plain thankful. Simple thanks, simple gratification. For me, that's the all-in. It's about making room for him, really, in our busy lives. Well, I am actually going to stop there, because has anyone heard the song, Make Room? Make Room for Him. But it talks about traditions, religions, and setting those aside to make room for Him. It's a song that's really spoken to me over the last 12 months, 18 months. And it is just talking about making room for Him. We can crowd our day with all sorts of things. But I think what he's calling us all to do is to just make room for him. Make space for him. So let's do that. Let's do it. So what are the three things? Is your tester this morning? What are the three things?
Joyful.
Prayerful.
Get into the
Word. Get into the Word. Pretty good. And dig out your prophetic words. I was just reminded of one for these two guys that they got in Jerusalem when we were praying just now. And sometimes we just literally have to get those prophetic words out and dust them off. Jen is brilliant. Jen is the scribe. She's got journals galore. She will know. She's amazing. She will know what sort of journal, what it was like, and almost where the page is. It's astonishing. And she'll say, do you remember that word? And I vaguely, I'm not the greatest of journalists, but Jen is, that she will know where that is in a journal. She says, oh, we've had a prophetic word about that, I'm sure we haven't. She'll go to it in a cupboard. And I would say, 9 times out of 10, she's bang on. And it's bang on for the moment that we need it as well. So, if you do have them, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't step on the hose pipe that's flowing through. Okay, you may not know the words of this song, so you can sit and soak to it if you want, or you can stand up and worship to it, but perhaps go through it a couple of times. But it's a great declaration of things that can get in the way of God. And it's a declaration song about making room for Him.
Pete, that 1 Thessalonians verse is printed at the bottom of my page.
Well,
oh, wow. So I think what you were saying was right.
Let me try.
Confirmation.